and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, stephanieMiller.com, the website, sexyliberal.com, the sexy liberal website. Speaking of sexy liberals, when there's breaking news, who do you want with you in the driver's seat with dreamy newsman, David Schuster? Good morning, dreamy newsman.
Good morning, Stephanie. Great to be with you. How's your summer going?
It's going great. This is a real true geek story. When I get my little show prep and your name is on it, I was talking to a friend. I'm like, David Schuster's on tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
I get all gooey.
Well,
I know.
I'm flattered.
And I love him.
The feeling is mutual. Great to be with you.
You too, honey. So, obviously, I've got to say I love this. As someone that gets called an Obama apologist every day. And listen, people calling in all the Republican candidates, President stupid about it. Gaddafi is doing it wrong. Look, yeah. Your thoughts?
Well, no, I think this just gets to show what Republicans are really after. I mean, they will try to destroy and smear President Obama using anything they possibly can, even if it's completely and totally illogical. And, as it turns out, I mean, the president has been following the right strategy for all these many months. He's been patient when a lot of other people haven't.
Yeah.
He's been firm when a lot of people suggested that we have no business being there. And it turns out that this has worked. I mean, the strategy the Obama administration and others around the world pursued, a sort of helping the rebels, arming them, and giving them the time and the space to sort of make their move, it's worked. And so anybody who says otherwise, anybody who says, oh, the president was too slow, or, you know, why didn't the president move faster, is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, interesting how he keeps ending up being right about things that there's a lot of screaming about, you know, and oftentimes on both sides. I mean, I sometimes, David, say, I maybe wouldn't reflexively defend him as much if I didn't feel like he was so constantly unfairly attacked. And it is hilarious. He kills bin Laden and, you know, Bush gets credit by the Republicans.
Yeah.
The Republican presidential candidates, to a T, they respond to the fall of Gaddafi. No, everybody is gets credit except President Obama.
Yeah. I mean, there were some Republicans that suggested, you know, what on earth are we doing in Libya? And granted, yeah, I mean, I suppose there was a legitimate argument about, you know, should the Obama administration go to Congress and get congressional approval and all that, and that's fine. And if you want to argue on those points, okay, but, you know, the fact of the matter is his policy of what he did to sort of help the rebels and supporting them and essentially led to the overthrow of Gaddafi. And,
yeah.
And so for anybody to suggest otherwise, I mean, I think if Republicans were to stand up today and say, look, we applaud the president's policy, it worked, we still wish he had gone to Congress and, you know, sought our approval, then that's fine. That's
right.
A legitimate point. But the stuff that you hear is just complete nonsense.
And even now, I mean, you know, David, you covered the Bush administration. There would be, bluster and machismo and chest pounding. Even now, the president is being his usual urging caution. You know, things are fluid. It's not, you know, I mean, I think that it is such a contrast. I mean, you talk about, like, if Bush had gotten bin Laden, how they would have handled it. Same thing, you know. I mean, the president just calmly and you know, obviously very effectively carried out that mission, and, you know, and there was no chest thumping. I mean, and still the Republicans gave George Bush credit for getting bin Laden.
I think the Republicans are going to try to do everything they can to resuscitate George W. Bush, even if it means electing Rick Perry as their nominee, which would be frightening. And I guess we'll talk about that in a minute. But
yeah.
I think the one thing that I think so many people tend to appreciate about Obama and foreign policy, and I think you've hit it, is that, I mean, wars and, you know, the killing of Osama bin Laden, it's a great thing, but, you know, we've lost so many soldiers and so many Americans have paid the ultimate sacrifice in this battle that obviously none of us wish we would have ever had to have fought this war to begin with. So
right.
I think it is such a moment for the president to say, okay, yeah, we got him, and we can all be proud of that, but this isn't a moment to sort of celebrate or to sort of chest bump, because that then dishonors
right.
all those people who gave the ultimate sacrifice.
No, that's exactly right, David. And I think, you know, he was very, I think you're right, cautious and wise about this. As you know, there was a lot of complaint on the left about this as well. And so I mean, you got to look at Rick Santorum. Ridding the world of the likes of Gaddafi is a good thing, but this indecisive president had little to do with this triumph. Really, Rick? How do you figure? I mean, you look at these people on any of these candidates. I mean, you know, you go Mitt Romney. I mean, literally, he flip-flopped on. Now he says the world is about to be rid of Gaddafi, the brutal tyrant who terrorized the Libyan people. In March, he accused Obama of being weak with the Libyan intervention, suggesting his policy can't prevail. I mean, one after another of them are on record like this, right?
Yeah, and I think it's the, sort of the silly season that we're going to get into period now for the next, you know, 5 or 6 months where, I mean, the press releases and the statements are going to be increasingly bizarre as, you know, it's so clear that the Republicans, no matter what the issue is, that the winner is going to go to who can ever be the craziest, who
right.
can ever
yeah.
be the most irrational and illogical and, you know, cynical about the American people and pretend as if the American people are so stupid that they might actually, you know, believe some of this nonsense that they're spewing. And
oh, yeah. Check this out. Michelle Bachmann, I opposed U.S. military involvement in Libya, and I'm hopeful our intervention there is about to end. I also hope the progress of events in Libya will ultimately lead to a government that honors the rule of law, respects the... Well, yes, because President Obama did. Because it's like, oh, I hope this just sort of happens now. I mean, you know what? That is exactly leadership, what the president did. It's just, you know, I love it. Now apparently it just happened by spontaneous combustion.
Well, and it's such stupid politics because... I mean, the Republicans, I suppose, if they said, look, we just give the president credit, he's won in Libya, this is the right policy, let's move on. People would move on. It's just when they right. come up with this stuff that is so stupid and so silly and so crazy, then it keeps the issue around for even longer and enables, I think, people who aren't paying close attention to say, wait a second, what were we doing in Libya? Oh, yeah, the president was patient, he was calm, he was firm, and oh, yeah, he won, and so these Republicans it's nonsensical. Whereas,
yeah.
I mean, this could be, you know, because of how short attention spans around the United States, this could be a very sort of short story if Republicans just said, okay, good job,
right.
Mr. President, let's move on and talk about the economy.
Right. Well, I mean, and that's the other thing, as you say, it's just a part of the narrative that it doesn't matter what it is, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, the auto rescue, that's never going to work, that'll never, you know, does it work, spectacular success, we're never going to get any kind of health care path, does it,
passes it.
We're never going to get, you know, Bin Laden's there, oh, did it, I mean, it's just literally same thing. It doesn't matter what he is for; they're against it, and then refuse to give him credit when it is a success.
Yeah, and you know, I think as Democrats should be in a way, as crazy as it is, and as annoying as it is, I think in a way we should, you know, all be sort of grateful that this is what the Republicans are doing, because when the day comes when there is some Republican who does say, okay, let's give the president credit for this or credit for that, and let's argue with him on these other issues, that Republican then will suddenly have a little bit more credibility and might register more with, you know, the moderate and independents and people who really decide these elections. And I think that's when Democrats should be concerned. But as long as Republicans are off in crazy land en masse, then I think Democrats should, you know, celebrate it and point out how ridiculous they are.
Yeah,
And thank our, you know, thank the lucky stars that that not a single one of these Republicans is even being reasonable.
Yeah, well, except, of course, for Donald Trump, who may get back in the race and have this to say about Libya.
We've spent billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. We are NATO. We're the ones that really back NATO more than anybody else mm-hmm. by far in terms of money and weapons and everything else. And I say, what do we get out of it? I mean, you have all these rebels running around, beautiful name right. rebels. Are they from Iran? Who are they? Who's going to take over Libya? Who's going to take over the oil? So what do we get out of it, and why don't we take the oil? I mean, why aren't we reimbursing ourselves? And now all of those rebels are going to be richer than the people of this country because they're going to take the oil.
Oh, God, we better hurry and steal their oil. That's, you know.
I think this is the third or fourth country where Trump has decided that the United States should go in and steal their oil.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, because why? But who would notice that? Now, here's a prediction for you. Do you think this will get on Fox News photos? Libyans applaud President Obama and international allies with large thank you sign. Do you think somehow that will be in the Fox footage? They'll just, you know, green screen that out or something?
Yeah, or what they'll do is they'll use it and they'll say this is just proof that Obama's a Muslim or whatever kind of, you know, other crazy lie they want to come up with.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Fox, Fox has been so infuriating and so annoying on so many levels lately. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did this whole thing last week with the bus, and as if they were claiming as if this was President Obama's decision to drive around these buses when it was the Secret Services, and then they had this canard that, oh, the bus was made in Canada,
right.
and there was only one part made in Canada. And so I think it's
right. That started years ago, not under Obama's administration,
right.
at the Secret Services directive, because that's the, you know, the place you can get the actual, you know, the kind they need. They have pretty specific requirements,
right.
you know.
And the exact same kind was also gotten for the eventual GOP candidate in 2012.
Yes. Yeah. George Bush wrote in those exact same kind of.
And these are not complicated questions, and this is not. I mean, one call to the Secret Service, or one call to the company that got the contract in Tennessee, and you find this stuff out. And I think with Fox, I mean, I think they know what the truth is, but they've decided, you know what, let's just sort of let's not make any phone calls because to do so would interfere with, you know, the right-wing talking points that Roger Ailes and want us to pursue. And they, and you see this in story after story after story where at Fox it's now sort of, well, let's just not even call logical people who know the answers to this stuff because, you know, God forbid Steve Doocy should be contradicted.
Yeah. Listen, Chris and I can confirm you're talking our language. That's why I got thrown off Fox News for the for the last time because, oh, I know, the whole topic they did was Cindy Sheehan is claiming that she's been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. Well, Chris makes one call to the AP that confirms, like, yes, she has been, but the whole premise of the segment was that
she
was lying.
Yeah, she was lying.
And I just said, well, you know, journalism, you ought to check into it sometime.
Oh, they didn't take too kindly to that.
No, they didn't like that. No, that didn't go well for me. But anyway, my point is, what the Republican field, I mean, wow. What is, there's, you know, new polling out, of course, astonishingly to me, showing, you know, Mitt Romney and or Rick Perry neck and neck with the president. Your thoughts, David Schuster.
Well, I think Democrats had a hope for their lucky stars that Rick Perry wins the nomination and not Mitt Romney. I think Mitt Romney has been, even though his stuff has also been crazy, it's not as crazy and as wild and scary to a lot of folks as Rick Perry. But, you know, the Republican Party right now is in this mood of going for whoever is the nuttiest. And, you know, Rick Perry, whether it's, you know, claiming what, that Bernanke should be, you know, that it's treasonous if he wants to increase dollar supply, to then suggesting that there's just as much scientific evidence behind creationism as evolution. I mean, it's just, he's off in crazy land.
Yeah. No, that's what I was saying. It literally, you know, you hope that the mainstream media does its job on that to show, I mean, how truly lunatic fringe Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann are.
Well, and I'm not hopeful these days about the mainstream media. I mean, I think still so much of the mainstream media is about, well, Rick Perry says this, but scientists say that, as if there's like an equal divide and, you know, there are two sides to every story. And you know, sometimes the facts are not two sides. There's just one, you know, they're just facts. And I just worry that particularly in a general election, I'm not sure the mainstream media will do such a great job with somebody like Rick Perry because I think they'll try to be deferential to, oh, this is the will of the Republicans at the And I think it's, you know, I think we're headed to some problems if Rick Perry is the nominee just in general in terms of our society and what kind of media world we live in.
Yeah, well, exactly. When he tells a little boy, well, the world's pretty old, you know, we don't really know how old. I think they need to have a chyron that says Rick Perry is a dumb, and scientists do know exactly how old.
Yeah.
It is. Just FYI.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that I'm sort of, I mean, even if Rick Perry is, I think even if he gets the Republican nomination, I have a feeling that people are still, you know, when they see George W. Bush or they see mannerisms or that Texas twang where you drop the G's, I think people still get shivers.
He's George Bush without the, you know, humility or intellect.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, and I don't, so I just think that Rick Perry's not gonna play well. And at a certain point, I mean, I think one of my colleagues a couple of days ago made the point that, you know, Rick Perry 4 years ago would have been laughed off the stage in the Republican nomination contest. And the fact that he's being taken seriously, the fact that Michelle Bachmann is taken seriously is also sort of bewildering, but maybe not. I mean, that's the state of the Republican Party these days, is they're so unhinged, they're so off the deep end, that even somebody completely insane like a Rick Perry can possibly get the nomination.
David, you know, listen, my dreams come true every day, and I'm told that you're going to stick around for another segment.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Hang on. Wait there. Yay! Okay. Like, oh my God, I'm back, and like, he's my Tiger Beat, him and Richard Wolff, who's also on the show today.
And
like,
David
my
Cassidy.
Bobby Sherman and my David Cassidy.
Yeah.
And they are frozen on my computer. They're my screensavers.
Yep.
20 minutes after the hour, right back with more David with David Schuster on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is this? What's going on?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Bom. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. Journalist David Schuster rejoins us. You know, David, I have to tell you, as much as I love you, when you fill in on the radio, it's very scary because you're really, really good. And
yeah, you
we
are.
All fear for our, we all fear for our lives
you're
and our jobs.
You're great on the Bill Press
no,
show.
Really are.
You guys are very, very kind. And the Bill show is a fun one to do. And as Stephanie, as you know, when you're surrounded by great producers, the job becomes that much easier. And,
oh, well, I don't know about that. But yeah, I understand Bill has good ones.
Stephanie doesn't know what that's like.
What? Anyway, that is a high compliment because not a lot of people. You are great. You really are great
well,
on the radio.
Say, Stephanie, we are going to form some gigantic progressive media multi-platform organization, and we will rule the world.
Awesome. Do I have to stop drinking? I hope not.
how that's going to be one of the requirements.
How is current TV?
Current's going well. You know, Keith is the team that he has assembled over at Current. I think it's even better than the one he had at MSNBC, and it's pretty remarkable because there's some people who didn't work for him over at MSNBC, and a lot of people on that show. And it's really remarkable what a terrific team he put together and how quickly they pick things up. And so Current's with the ratings, it's also been I think they're sort of ahead of schedule. I mean, they're now days every other day when Keith's show at 8 o'clock is beating CNN. At 8 o'clock, and CNN's in 50% more on cable home. So the ratings are great. The show is really taken off. Keith's audience is very energized, and so I think it's terrific.
What's that? Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, good. Yeah. I gotta check it out. I have to admit, I've been cheating with Lawrence O'Donnell, so I have to go find Current on my lineup.
it takes a while. I mean, and I think one of the challenges is that Current doesn't have great channel placement in a lot of the cable systems that do carry it, and so it's taken a while for people to find it. But I think people who like this sort of compelling, progressive, witty writing, very smart sort of broadcast will love the show. And Keith, Keith is just doing a bang up, a brilliant job. He's in a great place.
Well, listen, all my liberal boy crushes are just, smashing into each other. Now, let's talk about, you brought up Rick Perry because I'm running short on time. I love this. 1 week into his campaign, he's disavowing his 9-month-old book. Which, of course, has some, things in there that are not very, very popular, like Social Security and all the social safety nets are unconstitutional. So they're kind of going, oh, well, that was just a look at the past. That's not a... I love it like it was a high school term paper, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Republicans should prepare for whiplash with Rick Perry because I think this is just the beginning. I mean, literally every day he says something that, and there are some people close to his campaign who were suggesting over this week that they winced when he talked about Bernanke and the trees in common, and they're trying to sort of walk it back. But literally, I mean, every day you can talk to some of his campaign officials and they'll say, okay, yeah, we shouldn't have said that, and no, we shouldn't have said that, and yeah, we wish he hadn't gone off the cuff on that. Well, at a certain point, the candidate himself has got to show some discipline, or at least the kind of discipline that is, wiser advisors are expressing to the media. And if he's not willing to show that sort of discipline, if he's going to write a book where he's going to claim that he's going to cut the social safety net and then he's going to walk away from it just a couple months later when he's running for president, I mean, that's the sort of, it just sort of shows how sort of nakedly political he is at the same time that he's also being incredibly extreme on some issues. And I think that's not a very good combination.
Yeah, it took about a half day before I just went, what a jerk. that's my finely honed political analysis.
Yeah, I think he's not a nice person. I mean, from everything that I've heard, he's not a particularly nice person. He's incredibly narcissistic. And I suppose, look, everybody at that level, I suppose, has a certain level of narcissism. But his is the point of, it gets back to some of the things that I think people were most disgusted about with George W. Bush. And that is just because Rick Perry feels that something should be done a certain way, well, then he's going to do it because God is telling him to or whatever other cockamamie reason, as opposed to sort of listening to sort of wise advice and counsel and listening to the facts. And I think, anytime you have a president or a leader or a nominee or even a candidate who's like, I'm just going to do whatever my heart tells me or whatever that little voice in my head tells me, I mean, that's a recipe for danger.
That's
and
right.
For disaster.
And actually, if they had counted the votes in Florida, God actually wanted Al Gore to be president, but that's not important now. David Schuster, journalist extraordinaire. We'll see you again soon, honey. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Take care. You guys have a great rest of the summer.
You too, honey. Thank you. There he goes. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Still mad because Dad gave Rita that MG and all you got was a Plymouth Valiant?
My goodness, the things you remember.
It was a Dodge Dart.
That was my high school car.
A Dodge Dart?
A red Dodge Dart with no shocks. And all my friends from the back seat would always scream, get some shocks, every time we went over a bump.
Oh, dear.
Oh, those were the days in Lackport, New York, up the transit from Cheektowaga, Lackawanna, and Tanawanda.
You had to drive in a lot of snow with no shocks?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
It was a potty. All right. This hour brought to you by GoToMyPC.com. Access your Mac or PC from anywhere. Now even from your iPad with GoToMyPC. Free for 45 days. Visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. All right. Sexy Liberal. Oh, God. David Schuster. I'm still all hot and bothered from David Schuster. And Richard Wolff is coming up in just a few minutes.
I know, right?
Right. Totally. Okay. So anyway, it's just the Sexy Liberal was the theme.
Mm-hmm.
Sexyliberal.com is the website. Lots of the big news. We've had the breaking announcements left and right. I can't even keep track. Fort Lauderdale, December 10th.
Right.
Portland, January 7th, just added. Fort Lauderdale, we don't have that station there. Went on sale Friday. We're nearly sold out.
Holy cow!
Lauderdale.
And we're not adding any shows.
No.
I mean, that's...
I finally got some principles.
Yeah. So, get your tickets now if you want to go.
Judge Robert, he's an actual judge. Dear staff, my wife and I wondering when you come to Florida on the way to work. This was Friday, driving Fort Lauderdale to Miami. I heard you'd be here December 10th. I immediately called my wife and work asked her to see if she can get tickets online. She called me back and said after spending half an hour on the computer, she was not able to get tickets. The box office exploded Friday. Yeah,
that tends to happen with Sexy Liberal.
By that time, I was on my way back to Fort Lauderdale, went directly to Parker Playhouse and secured two VIP tickets in row two, seats two and four. I'm writing that down so I can say hi. I'd like to offer my services as the official Florida judge of the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you, Judge. Judge Robert. Awesome. Awesome! Bill in Maine writes, Mama, here's my bumper sticker. I'll keep my hope and change. Stick your hate and lies up your ass. All right,
well,
that's a little clear.
That's... seems a bit harsh.
But well said.
Yeah.
God, I love me some Andy Borowitz, as you know.
Yeah.
Headline is Gaddafi found running for Republican nomination. The mystery surrounding Colonel Muammar Gaddafi's whereabouts was resolved today as the dictator announced his candidacy for the Republican presidential nomination in a town hall meeting in Concord, New Hampshire. No one thought to look there.
No.
In announcing his candidacy, the Libyan madman joins a Republican field which is believed to number in excess of 700 candidates. In those final days in Tripoli, he was becoming increasingly disconnected from reality, said an aide, so I think he'll fit right in. Mr. Gaddafi got mixed reviews in his first appearance on the campaign trail with some New Hampshire citizens saying his six-hour stump speech was badly in need of pruning. But others gave him high marks for his grasp of history and geography, which most agreed was stronger than Michelle Bachmann's. Current polls show him in the back of the pack, leading former Senator Rick Santorum, but trailing the pizza guy.
Did he write The Pizza Guy?
The Pizza Guy. I think boy, he listens to us. Unfortunately for Muammar Gaddafi, he might be out of step with the current crop of Republican candidates, one pollster said. There's a perception that he's too moderate. Which is true. Well, David Schuster and I were just talking about the pack of crazy ass clowns in the Republican clown car this time. Yeah. Dear God.
The more John Huntsman opens his mouth, the more I like him. Is
that except
crazy?
That's and the less chance he has, right?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, God.
You know, he reminds me of McCain in 2000.
Yeah.
You know, if I were, for some reason, to vote for a Republican, he would be the Republican I would vote for.
Yeah. Based on his wildly unpopular plan to destroy Medicare, I guess Paul O'Brien had briefly felt a groundswell to run, but he has decided not to, which is probably that's really has deflated things now.
It's going to leave a void.
While humbled by the encouragement, I don't really know from who.
Who encouraged?
I don't know, from one of the people paying to boo him at his town halls, maybe. I have not changed my mind, therefore I am not seeking our party's nomination for president. Yikes. Eddie Munster is out before he's even in. That is a sad, sad day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bless his heart.
I guess he...
Isn't that wonderful, Eddie?
All right. You gotta go.
You can't leave me.
You gotta go.
I'm not gonna leave my friends. I know.
All right. You gotta go. You got no support.
You can kill me a million times, and I still won't go.
Yeah, no. You got no support anywhere. Go now.
She was extra tantrumy there.
Yes. And then this one, as if the current Republican field wasn't big enough, New York Governor George Pataki is considering a run. A potential Pataki campaign would be slightly marred by his liberal positions on issues like abortion, in addition to what some perceive as a less than impressive record on spending. I think he is also dead on arrival. He is toast. I'm not even sure what these guys base this. Because the field is so insane. They just think, well, maybe...
Who's urging Pataki to run?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. What? Is it their own egos? I don't understand.
That's exactly
where...
it.
It's like, oh, yes, what? That's what'll save the... Okay. Joe in Spokane, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Joe.
Good morning, guy and gal.
Good morning.
Michelle Bachmann made a statement that if she was elected President Bachmann, gas would go under $2 a gallon because she knew how to get gas under $2 a gallon.
Well, sure, because it would just happen magically.
Well, yeah, kind of like John McCain. My friends, I know how to get Bin Laden. I know where he is.
I know where he is. I'm not going to tell you.
Unless
you vote for him, which seems kind of treasonous to me. Really? You know where he is, but you're not going to say?
I mean, it's almost like the exact same thing. Although John McCain seems really reasonable these days. I always thought he was totally insane, but now he almost...
Well, that's because he's not running anymore.
Have a great day, you guys.
Yeah, you too. Yeah. All right. Oh, he'll take no further questions. Thank you. All right.
He'll listen for the answer off the air.
Uh-huh. All right. Can I have my porn music? Yeah, I thought it was just me, but I'm telling you, David Schuster, Richard Wolff, all of my my liberal boy toys are just a hot air polar. You know what I'm saying?
Charlie Pierce is on today.
Yeah, all of them. I love my
liberal boy toy.
I love them all. Well, okay. You know, he's sometimes a naysayer, which kind of harshes my buzz, but I love him.
Okay.
But his funny fills the gap, so you know I'm. Yeah, and Andrea with me. Snarky is hot. She writes, Steph, much is said over the sexy hotness of every member of the Stephanie Miller Show. I would like to add another body to the pile of hotness. Eric Bollert's savvy, snarky assessments of the false news kids makes me all kinds of inappropriately warm.
Yeah.
Me too. Thanks for heaping another hot one on the already blazing hot fire of smart and sexy. Now I need an ice bath, Andrea. I love people so much. I just love them so much.
One of my friends called Eric Bollert a silver fox in the vein of Anderson Cooper.
Oh, I know what he's hot too. If you see him on TV. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, Julie, turn the music back up. Julie in Seattle, she's inappropriately warm for Ron Reagan, who did a great job yesterday on MSNBC.
Yep.
I just did the town hall with him up in Seattle. Julie writes, Mama, Ron Reagan doing a hell of a job subbing for Chris Matthews yesterday, in my opinion. He needs to get that 3 p.m. slot on MSNBC. Despite his parentage, I have him to be sort of, well, dreamy. And just imagine the right-wing heads popping all over the place with this daily reminder of their idol. That's true. The imaginary President Ronald Reagan, the one who never raised taxes or took vacations or set record budget deficits or signed arms treaties with 30 commies, or who was friends with Tip O'Neill, or who presided over an economy that sucked even more than this one, complete with a 9++ unemployment rate, that son grew up to be a total liberal Democrat. That's true. There is a neener factor.
Yeah.
All right. I agree. All right. All right. We were talking about, this is hilarious. David Schuster was saying whether Rick Perry is going to be able to, you know, survive his lunatic right-wing fringe positions. He just wrote a book 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Fed up.
Yeah. Fed up!
Or you could read it effed up.
Yes, sure. Yes. Last November, Rick Perry published Fed Up, a Node to Tentherism, which argues essentially everything from child labor laws to the Clean Air Act and Medicare violates the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, however, claiming that America's entire social safety net is unconstitutional, not very popular.
No.
Yeah, a lot of Americans disappointed. So Perry's campaign...
Disappointed!
Now... trying to take it all back just a week into his presidential campaign, which is quite a moonwalk.
Are they trying to unpublish this book?
Apparently.
Huh. Can that be done?
They're like, oh, that's like a high school paper. He wrote that a long time ago.
He's trying to wish it out into the cornfield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His communications director said he had never heard the governor suggest Social Security was unconstitutional. Perhaps we could get him a page number to make it more helpful.
Hmm.
Not only that, he said Fed Up is not meant to reflect the governor's current views on how to fix the program. Really? Oh, they've evolved that much. It came out 9 months ago, and that's crazy. Why would we think that this has anything to do with now?
Yeah.
The book, Mr. Sullivan said, is, quote, a look back, not a path forward. I see. It's a history book now because it was written 9 months ago.
Yeah, don't pay any attention to that.
It was written as a, quote, review and critique of 50 years of federal excess, not in any way as a 2012 campaign blueprint or manifesto. No, because it is wildly unpopular. The ideas discussed therein. Fed Up is not some 20-year-old... Ian Milhires, our friend, wrote this at Think Progress. Fed Up is not some 20-year-old graduate school thesis Perry wrote before he served elective office. It is a substantial nationally published manifesto Perry was proudly signing at book tours just a few months ago. But now... I don't know. What? bring up some ancient thing like that. Hey, here's another wildly inappropriate, violent, racist thing from a Tea Party person.
What? You don't say. They have those kinds of views? Mm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
This is why Newsbusters and Radio Equalizer has to scramble every time Aisha Tyler's on. Oh, who's shooting a movie today?
Yeah.
So they must be very sad. Violent, lefty, wannabe, alleged actress, would-be comedian Aisha Tyler, as they call her.
Uh-huh. That takes up a lot of
yes, because she once threatened to kick Michelle Malkin in the nutsack at the Beverly Center.
Yeah, at the mall.
Which is just very unlikely. In so many ways, and also it would be fictional body parts. So,
yeah.
But that they use that as some evidence that...
That we're violent here on the
violent
left.
Violent and racist. We're just as violent and racist on the left.
Sure.
However, take a gander at this story. South Carolina Tea Party chairman, mind you.
Okay.
Post a joke about killing the Obamas on Facebook.
Oh, that's
the kind
funny.
That Secret Service thinks is funny. Sherry Langford Smith, please and thank you.
Mm.
She's no Kathy Durr, but she's the best we have for this... story.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties, stop being noodleback.
Facebook, as I've mentioned before, Chris, source of all evil in the world.
Can be sometimes, yes.
Uh-huh.
Twitter is more
yes, well, yes.
For me.
More likely to get you fired.
Yeah.
More quickly.
Mm-hmm.
She's the chairwoman of the Tea Party in South Carolina. She's under fire after posting a joke about killing the president and the first lady on her Facebook page. In the joke, wait for it. Here's some comedy music because
okay.
This is always, you know, it's weird how they tend to be violent and racist, these jokes. Always. Okay, in the joke, let's see, Obama's helicopter pilot says to his co-pilot, I can throw both of them out the window and make 256 million people very happy. Smith continued, if you're one of the 256 million, pass it on, which implies she herself would be happy to see the Obama's kill. She defended the post. Of course she did.
Of course she did.
Of course she did. It's just a joke. I had no idea it would be an issue. That's crazy. What? What's wrong with your people? She removed the post after the newspaper down there asked for comment. But the item that the newspaper took a screenshot of the post. So see, that's what happens with Facebook, unfortunately. It's screenshot. Ha ha. Too late. See, people think they're clever. I took it down. They'll never know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you see, what happens is you can freeze moments in time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't erase when the times that people have forwarded to other people. I found that out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, there's some Republican humor for you.
That's okay. Nifty.
Okay, 47 minutes after the hour. What are you basing that on? The Tea Party's racist. That's crazy. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh, boy. That is so sad that we both still know how to Vogue.
Well.
Oh, I remember the video like it was yesterday.
It's not like it's hard to do. I mean, come on.
It's a video from what, 1980? Wow.
89 or 90, something like that.
52 minutes after the hour.
This was her song from the movie Dick Tracy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
1-800-STEP. Oh, God, when she was with Warren Beatty. Yikes.
Yeah.
All right, now we're dating ourselves.
Oh,
all
boy.
Right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. Right-wing world coming up. Oh, what do you call it? Ken in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Has he an owned Herman Cain?
Yes, he does.
Not since Rock You Like Herman Cain have I been so excited.
Godfather's Pizza
will deliver.
Hot, fast, and fresh right to your door. Or if you want,
we'll deliver.
Our popcorn, chicken, salads, and pizza fries, too. Godfather's Pizza, Wausau and Schofield.
Pizza fries? They offered something called pizza fries?
I don't know.
That's disgusting.
It's all crap.
Oh.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. And by popular demand, also the Michelle Bachman Moni Moni parody coming up after the time. It's just, listen, things go viral here from the Stephanie Miller Show that just become phenomenons.
Yes, they do.
Mackenzie in Spokane. Staff, have you seen the Baby Monkey iPhone game? Yeah, I think the guy that started this wrote to me because we played it so much. We have made it.
Perry Grip?
I think so.
Really?
Hey, guys, I can't believe I found this, but in the App Store, there's a baby monkey riding backwards on a pig game. Yeah.
Backwards.
Baby monkey. Oh, goodness, monkey turn around.
No, monkey, you're going the wrong way.
Oh, God. The world has gone insane.
Yeah.
You
don't know what is right. You've got to keep on keeping on. Get on the pig and
ride, everybody. Woo! Okay, baby monkey. Yeah, that's and also... Oof.
What?
I think we've started something. Oh, you remember the caller that said that's he and his girlfriend's favorite sexual position now, which I don't. Listen, I don't even want to know what the show has wrought across the country.
Ooh,
behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Mackenzie writes, Steph, I really believe the constant endorsement of playing the video on the Stephanie Miller Show helped to increase the viralism of it. I'm sure that's what led to the making of the game. The really cool thing is that the song plays in the background while you while you're playing the game, making the monkey and the pig jump up to get bananas out of the air and avoid obstacles. So now my four-year-old who loves the baby monkey video and sings along with the song can now play a game that will also keep him occupied. Fair warning, it's addictive. Yeah, it sounds it. I'm just,
right.
I haven't played it yet.
Well, you don't have
an
iPhone.
I think we got another Angry Birds on our hands.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
You don't have an iPhone, so you probably can't
No,
play.
I have a BlackBerry Storm.
So you're the person that still has a BlackBerry.
Shut up. Lots of people do.
Really?
Don't they?
No, okay. Not really anymore.
Right.
It's kind of like Uggs with you.
Really? Are 8-tracks out? Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go. Martha McCollum on the Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, once again extolling the awesome power of the Tea Party, despite every poll showing support
that
waning.
Atheists and Muslims are more popular than the Tea Party. Yeah.
You know, back to the Tea Party element for a moment. I mean,
okay.
When you look at this group, you know, this grassroots group that sort of rose up just screaming and yelling about taxes in this country and about spending in this country, have just been so dynamic on the political scene to the point where they are on the lips of every politician who discusses the issues that are most pressing, whether it's Maxine Waters saying they should go straight to hell or whether it's, you know, Sarah Palin or Michelle Bachmann who have, you know, harnessed the energy of this group in such a dramatic way. Bob, you cannot... Undercut the significance of this group in this political dialogue.
Can I just go on record, Chris, and say I think I was right once again. Didn't I say in the very beginning of the Tea Party, I'm like, this is nothing but good news for the Democratic Party because it is driving the Republican Party further and further to the lunatic fringe right. And look at these candidates, as David Schuster was just saying, Rick Perry and Michelle Bachmann, lunatic.
Yeah.
Lunatic far-right fringe.
And they're driving more and more independents and moderates to the Democratic Party. Which is awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, and I love this Breitbart, we'll get to this next hour, but Breitbart website finds Palin support in a Rasmussen poll that didn't even include her.
Yeah.
But they're sort of wildly speculating that, oh, she could get in and then couldn't be the nominee and then could, yes, okay, sure. And as I've often said, if my aunt had a, she'd be my uncle.
That's right.
All right, Glenn Beck and his producer.
I reject this idea.
Don't use Notion, please.
That if you disagree with global warming or evolution, you're anti-science.
Yes.
That's garbage. Mm. Science changes all the time. Science has been
wrong.
I don't know how many times.
Really?
Hundreds.
Science is
thousands
only,
of times.
Science is only wrong until they prove them, or only right until they prove themselves wrong.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. God's truth goes hand in. He created the rules.
He is the ultimate scientist.
He will play by his rules.
Yeah, math and science, it changes. Chris, it evolves.
Hmm.
Facts and figures just change magically.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. All right, Mark Stein in for Limbaugh.
There is something, to me, there is something Latin American about a man walling himself off in his compound with other members of the elite, especially after he's just descended on small-town America. He's driven down main streets in Minnesota with
Martha
a 40-car entourage, 40-car motorcade in his armored Canadian bus.
Mm.
In case any of the citizens of small town Minnesota break through the line and try to get a piece of him.
Oh.
There's something Latin American about a president vacationing somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
With security.
In a walled off
compound.
That's
vaguely weird now.
Mm-hmm.
President Obama's doing it. Mm-hmm. Sure. All right. We have a. Hey, speaking of my aunt having a. We have Ann Coulter and a couple of other bites left over in the. Right Wing World and Richard Wolff as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, stephaniemiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward. Good morning, Jim Ward.
Good morning.
Or me, Stephanie Miller. Sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Ooh, Mike in Seattle with some breaking news about Rick Perry. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Stephanie.
You work at a Barnes & Noble in Seattle.
Yes, it's one of the last ones.
Yikes.
But we got a memo on our intranet that says we're supposed to send the Rick Perry books back and get credit for the store for them. And I said, well, there's two of them. That'll take me minutes to do.
Wow.
I mean, you think the campaign is trying to get this off the shelves, you mean, because there's so many, you know, impolitic things in it, shall we say?
You know, maybe we're just trying to liquidate. But I had a thought on it.
Yes.
If Social Security was unconstitutional 9 months ago, wouldn't it be unconstitutional now?
No, not in Rick Perry world. Not in Perry world, no. That's like a high school thesis that he wrote then. Yeah. He doesn't mean that now. All right.
He was young and impressionable.
All right.
Sure.
I think the important thing is that you are stocking Revival 2.0, How the Obama White House is Making Its Political Comeback by Richard Wolff. You have that, correct?
Haven't seen it.
Uh-oh, you better get it. You better get it quick, my friend. Because he is.
I think it might only be a digital download, though. We'll ask him.
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
We'll find out. Looky here. It's Richard Wolff, the journalist extraordinaire.
What are the odds?
It's an e-book, but Revival is a hardback, so if that's not there, I'm going to talk to someone important.
listen, I'm going up to Seattle, and I'm going to find out what's what with that. So, Richard Wolff, let's talk, first of all, breaking news about Libya. It is kind of hilarious in that you have all of these Republicans on record as saying this is absolutely the wrong policy and will not work. And now, as usual...
But if it does, it's not Obama.
Yeah, it's not Obama who did it. No, he has nothing to do with it.
Oh, this is a moment to savor, I think, for all of us. You know, one of the sort of self-myths, the self-propagated myths of the right is that they're somehow intellectually more consistent, more strategic, and just smarter than those dumbasses on the left who don't know anything and bounce around from crisis to crisis, and especially this weak, idiotic professor type who somehow fluked his way to a landslide victory in 2008 and is now in the White House.
And by the way, he's black.
Who is... Oh, yeah, that's it. Yeah. And you know what? He's not really up to the job, right? The whole thesis here is he is not up to the job. And the arch proponent of this, the sage of Fox News, the oracle of the right, is one Charles Krauthammer. And you should see. Go just take 3 minutes of your day, Google what Charles Krauthammer has been saying about Libya and Obama, because this has become the standard line for all of the presidential candidates on the right. They don't want to give him credit, the president credit for, you know, killing bin Laden or winding down the war in Iraq or any of the other things he's done. So what have they done? They said, Libya, it's a mess. It makes no sense. It's a disaster. He's weak. It's ridiculous.
Dithering. A lot of dithering. Yeah.
Dithering. And so Krauthammer, just worth looking, something he wrote for National Review, where he described the president as dithering over parchment. Now, I'll give Krauthammer, he's a nice writer, but his idea was that this is the president who cared about treaties and this ridiculous stuff about allies and the UN, and it was all doomed to fail. In fact, he said, better than doing what he's doing now, he should do nothing and stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
So today, is it worth it? Would it have been better for the United States and therefore NATO to do nothing and stay at home and leave a tyrant in power who was going to and indeed killing hundreds if not thousands of his own citizens and has been an enemy, a mortal enemy of the United States for decades? And, you know, it's just worth savoring not just the downfall of Gaddafi and the Arab Spring, but that this long-term strategy, this long-term approach with allies has actually worked and cost America far less in blood and treasure than any of the boneheaded things those guys on the right want to do.
Oh, I mean, please, it boggles the mind when you think if, you know, Obama had been in, we'd killed bin Laden, we wouldn't have had to go into Afghanistan or Iraq. I mean, it's just the whole thing. Right. You know, Romney literally...
As my friend Jeffrey Goldberg said, what next? Is he going to topple Castro as well?
Yeah.
I mean, really, the guy's record on foreign policy is extraordinary. He has made many mistakes, and we can talk about that at length. But they have no grounds to say that he has screwed up foreign policy or running the wars or that he hasn't been gutsy or he hasn't been smart. Their idea, I mean, the most beautiful thing was watching McCain and Lindsey Graham saying this could have happened much earlier if America had bombed the crap out of the place. I mean, really?
Yeah, yeah. Right. No, even like when he killed bin Laden, oh, well, it was Bush's victory, really. Or, I don't know, maybe they should have shot him in the other eye. It's really incredible. I mean, right. Mitt Romney on record as, accusing Obama of being weak with the Libyan intervention, saying his foreign policy cannot prevail there. He blogged about mission creep and blah, blah, blah. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
And they were going to impeach him. They were going to impeach the president. For
yes.
And there was a serious talk about saying that this is unconstitutional and wrong and it was a disaster in the making.
Yes.
And yet Gaddafi, just worth emphasizing here, Gaddafi was the guy who brought down the Lockerbie plane, okay? You know, he has killed, he's got American blood on his hands. And this president has been instrumental in toppling him from power.
Yeah,
now,
it could
still be messy, it could still be a disaster, all of that is true. But give credit where it's due, otherwise you look like a complete idiot.
Yeah, here's my favorite part of Mitt Romney's previous post in National Review. He approvingly quoted John Bolton, former U.N. ambassador, who Romney said rightly notes Obama has set himself up for a massive strategic failure by demanding Gaddafi's ouster. I mean, it's just, and what happens is, Mitt Romney yesterday said the world's about to be rid of Gaddafi, the brutal tyrant who terrorized the Libyan people. On and on, nothing, no credit. Obama, no, I was wrong about this. I mean, it's incredible.
And compare that to the situation in Iraq where bin Laden, when Obama was saying, look, I'm withdrawing troops from Iraq or we got bin Laden, he gave credit to President Bush for what he did too. You know, there was, maybe it wasn't as full-throated as the Republicans would have wanted, but he at least gave some credit to his predecessors and what they had done, and especially gave credit to the troops. I you've got to ask yourself a more fundamental question. What is it about this president who really, as progressives know, he is not a radical by any stretch of the imagination. What is it about this president that makes it so hard for Republicans, for conservatives, to accept any of his achievements whatsoever? And that's just, that's troubling. That's puzzling and curious and...
You're starting from, you name it, right? The rescuing the economy from recession, the auto rescue. I mean, one thing after another, healthcare, don't ask, don't tell. And people, frankly, on the left, too, screaming, oh, he's never going to do it. He's not going to wear it. It's not going to, we shouldn't have done it. It's like, I mean, I seriously feel like, this president just, I love last week. I swear to God, that guy's going to be at the top of my future husband list. One guy at a town hall stands up and goes, thank you, Mr. President. I'm not disappointed in you at all. The president was like, well, thank you.
That's what it takes to be your future president.
Your
future husband.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
President and husband. I think that there is, you can argue about the domestic stuff. Maybe you don't agree with it one way or another, but Gaddafi isn't a close call. I mean, this is a tyrant. He's a crazy man, and he had no support from anyone in the UN. He had no support from anyone in the Arab League. And yet the president can't get any support from Republicans.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling.
Well,
it's also intellectually bankrupt.
Yeah.
The most damning thing is that the folks, the brains on the right, have lost all their intelligence.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I think the other thing is, this is who this guy is. Calm, cool, collected, like you say, really gutsy, that bin Laden thing. And yet there was none of that Bush administration, chest thumping and bravado. And, here is the president yesterday still urging caution. President Obama yesterday.
There remains a degree of uncertainty, and there are still regime elements who pose a threat. But this much is clear. The Gaddafi regime is coming to an end.
Yeah, I mean, I was laughing last hour. There's all these, you know, demonstrations in the streets and a giant sign saying essentially, thank you, President Obama. And I'm like, going, that'll never get on Fox News. They'll make sure, you know.
Right. Here's a couple of things. First of all, it's not his style to sort of beat his chest and say, I did this, I'm great, everyone should worship me. Even though everyone thinks, at least people on the right thinks that's what he does all the time, he explicitly goes out and has always said, all the way through his campaign and his presidency, and said, this isn't about me. But even if you set that aside, Gaddafi's only channel, his only hope, even now, is to say that these rebels, these forces are colonists. That's what he calls them. They're foreigners, they're the Christians, they're the outsiders trying to take over Libya. So he's trying to play the nationalist card, even as he's holed up in his fortress bunker. For the president to go out and say, we did this, it was all because of us, would have merely confirmed what Gaddafi is trying desperately to suggest is the case when it's not. It's really, really important. One of the factors that has made this Arab Spring so powerful is that it has been Arab-led and that the United States has taken, and the West in general, has taken a back seat. Even though, Western powers have been bombing targets in Libya, this has not been a NATO mission on the ground. That's extremely important. That's exactly why the Iraqi insurgents gained so much power. Not because Saddam was beloved. It was because there was a foreign power, a foreign invader, that they could rally around and get mass support. That has not been the case in any of these countries. Not a case now. If you get the president out there now saying, America won, we were right, it would hurt the rebels. It would imperil this revolution.
I mean, I think you're right, Richard. I think the president could not have played this better or more smartly. And this is what makes it hilarious, as you mentioned, the John McCains of the world. Take a listen.
I grieve a bit because this conflict didn't have to last this long. United States air power could have shortened this conflict dramatically.
Oh, boy.
And unfortunately, we chose not to. We led from behind.
Wow. It's even in victory, right? You cannot give it up.
Well, you know, the man has an Arizona-sized chip on his shoulder. Look, I know it's tough being beaten in a presidential election. You know, I'm sure John Kerry still feels bad about 2004, but, you know, this is the guy who was the leading voice for the whole war in Iraq, which, as I recall, was not a short-lived affair. So he wants a quick conflict by putting more troops on the ground or more bombs flying in from overhead. If he had any kind of track record on this stuff of knowing how to fight a war quickly and effectively, maybe he'd have some credibility. But Iraq needs a few more decades for us to get over and forgive him for.
Yeah. I mean, and talk about compare and contrast, Richard. I mean, not one American life lost in the killing of bin Laden. And look at, I mean, Iraq and Afghanistan and the mess that George Bush made. I mean, it's stunning. Let me get your take real quick, Richard, on the Republican field and Rick Perry. Yeah. Obviously, polls, you know, shockingly showing Rick Perry or Mitt Romney neck and neck with the president. How do you think that's all going to shake out on the Republican side?
Well, for a start, I've said for many, many months now, I think this is a moment for a Rick Perry or a Sarah Palin to take the nomination. Mm-hmm. And me, I don't agree with Karl Rove on a lot, but I do really think that Sarah Palin is going to get into this race. And it's going to go to a populist, and those populists cannot take the middle ground, take the independence in the same way that, say, Romney cannot make the same economic arguments Romney can. Not that Romney's a good candidate at all, and when you have a real head-to-head as opposed to these fictional ones, these hypothetical ones, I think it shakes out very differently. Look, President Bush was in a weakened position in 2004. The more the head-to-head came into view with John Kerry, as opposed to being, you know, are you happy or unhappy with the civil war in Iraq and a slowing economy, you know, once you get into the head-to-head situation, the choice between two candidates, it's very, very different. And the economy feels bad now. A year in politics is an eternity at this time in the economy.
Yep.
Who knows what it's going to feel like, what it's going to look like. These head-to-heads are less than meaningless now. And if we had believed them in 2007 and 2008, you would not have ended up with a nominee or a president with the name Obama.
Yep, that's correct. Well, you know, Richard Wolff, that's why you're one of my favorite guests, because you always leave a nice gift at the end. Sarah Palin, a gift not just to Obama, but to comedy, if that's true, that she gets in.
Yes, keeps on giving.
There you go. Richard Wolff, author of Revival 2.0, How the Obama White House is Making Its Political Comeback. Richard, thanks as always.
My pleasure. Anytime.
All right, there he goes. Richard Wolff. By the twofer today. David Schuster, Richard Wolff. Yay! 22 minutes after the hour, a skosh more right-wing world next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That is so cool. What is it?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 26 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. David in Washington State. Hey, Dave.
Hey, Stephanie. Great song, by the way. Hey, these Republican neocons have been coddling and babying these authoritarian dictatorships. You know, Reagan should have taken Gaddafi out in 86, but he didn't. Rumsfeld was shaking hands with Saddam Hussein. I mean, the list of examples.
Yeah, David, you're right. The Republicans always think they're the tough guys. And meanwhile, you know, and Obama's weak and he's dithers and this and that. And meanwhile, who got Bin Laden, mother? Who got Gaddafi?
That's right. Republicans are finished. They don't hold accounts and nothing.
Yep.
They don't.
Thank you, baby. All right, let's finish up the right-wing world. Ryan Rhodes, please and thank you, Tea Party leader.
Oh, yeah, he's with the Iowa Tea Party.
Sure he is.
What we've seen is an underlying problem with people in that are Democrat representatives, Nancy Pelosi and other people, that's been bubbling for a while. It's just now that we are actually making progress, they're voicing their opinion because they're frustrated.
Yes.
The Democrats are frustrated.
Yes.
Oh,
they're showing plummeting support for the Tea Party in every poll. I see. Just because Maxine Waters told it the way it is.
Yeah.
But I don't know what she said. Oh, she said they can go straight to hell.
Straight to hell.
Oh, I love her so much. All right. Ann Coulter on the ad they play. Who placed this ad? I forget.
It was Ron Paul supporters, I believe.
Yeah, oh, right. They're asking for sexual partners of Rick Perry.
Yeah.
Does anyone to this day know where... what Obama's relatives were doing and where they were in 1861. There's a huge ad in an Austin newspaper asking for anyone who's had sex with Rick Perry. Can we get the ad to find, you know, Obama's cocaine dealer now that he's 2 years into his presidency?
See that your evidence of the cocaine thing is based on...
Something she read on the interwebs.
Ah, I see. Okay.
I think we can guess where Obama's father's...
By the way, that's a Republican that placed this ad for Rick Perry.
Yeah.
Liberals.
Well, in 1861, his ancestors were probably in chains.
In chains somewhere.
Yes, exactly.
Her voice is getting lower and lower. Yeah. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, she's... Well, I told you, she's the Norma Desmond of right-wing world.
She stopped taking her estrogen pills.
Well, stop it.
The trachea shave went awry. All right. Oh, come on. I'm kidding. All right. That concludes Right-Wing World. 29 minutes after the hour. Much more to come. Latest on Libya and Charlie Pierce. And much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Is that you? Boy, you feel that real nice.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce coming up in just a few minutes. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. John in California on Libya. Hello, John.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good. Go ahead.
I have a yes or no question for you.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Did the Twin Towers fall because of demolition or not?
I don't believe so. What's your point?
Chicken.
I'm a chicken. All right. Okay. All right. That one was for you, Jim. All right.
Well, what's with the name calling? Why are you a chicken if you don't believe that?
I didn't feel like having that conversation because I want to talk about Aretha Franklin being at the Detroit show Saturday night for Sexy Liberal. Go to Sexy. Oh, by the way.
What?
I don't know if they posted it yet, but Roland, the tour director, said we have a picture of her coming into the venue.
With our entourage?
It's going to hopefully be up at the Sexy Liberal on Facebook. We'll check and see if it is. Eric in Ohio writes, hey, staff at Aretha Franklin, attending the Sexy Liberal show in Detroit was the worst kept secret since Aisha Tyler looks great naked. I sent Chris some Aretha Franklin. I forgot about my favorite because we were playing, you know, RSC. I say a little prayer. Oh, God, I love this song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
I love her so much. Okay. The moment I wake up. I would have so geeked out all over her. All right. We love you, Aretha. Thanks for coming. Yay.
She wasn't the first to record that, though. No, she wasn't.
I don't care. I love hers. I love her version of everything.
Mm. Okay, then.
I would like you to record her the proper RSVC. Okay.
You can't even spell that right.
I don't know. S-P-E-C-T. Speaking of Michigan, we are coming back. Can you believe it? By popular demand for a special edition of the Sexy Liberal Show on September 17th in East Lansing to benefit the Clinton County Democratic community. Come on out. They're fighting the good fight out there. So come to Sexy Liberal. You can go to sexyliberal.com.
Yep.
And then we've got, listen, it's just a Asheville in September. In October, which will kill me. Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco. In November, Austin and Buffalo. And then just added Fort Lauderdale on December 10th. And then... And then the new year kicks off in, yeah.
Rose City, get ready, because this year's most popular comedy tour is coming to the Beaver State.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is blazing a trail to Portland, Oregon.
Will Portland, Oregon and...
Stephanie Miller.
That ain't love, then tell me what is
Oregon. From Beaver and Cherry.
Beaver, Cherry.
On January 7th, 2012, at the Newmark Theater, Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will mercilessly mock Republicans to the max. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling the Portland Center for Performing Arts box office at 503-432-2917.
Better than anything we have back in Portland, Oregon.
It's the perfect complement to an ice-cold Bridgeport brew.
Yeah. Yep, thank you. All right. It's going to be a Beaver Stack Superset in Portland.
Yep. The Beaver State.
Although I was able to, I forgot, was able to do a good one in Detroit, because you know when I take the traditional picture of my hoo-ha to tweet to the audience,
mm-hmm.
I was able to say, you just went, hey, that looks like exit 69 for Big Beaver Road.
Did you go on Big Beaver Road while you were there?
That's where it was. We were right off exit 69, Big Beaver Road.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the road that's big or the beaver?
You know what? It's
a little of both.
Depends on your point of view. All right. Don't make the throwing a hot dog down a hallway joke again.
Hey,
don't do that.
You're the one who
don't
thought it.
I didn't. Broom handle in a garbage can. Stop it. Okay. By popular demand as well, Nick writes, Steph, I'm a loyal listener. Where can I find the Michelle Bachman Moni Moni parody? Well, you can only find it. Here is where you can find
worked
it.
Worked tirelessly until slavery was no more.
Here she comes now saying more baloney.
Yeah. Carbon dioxide, it is a harmless gas.
Everything she says is just more baloney.
If you're involved in the gay and lesbian lifestyle, it's bondage.
The Lord said, be submissive.
Happy birthday to Elvis Presley's day.
Because you have a lot of chutzpah.
She makes me grow.
John Wayne is from Water, Nevada. You are Jehovah God. We are the Saudi Arabia of oil. We're running out of rich people.
What does God say when he looks
just
at you? Or when he looks at me?
Just a
he wants to say, she's hot.
I may not always get my words right. Chutzpah, 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 chutzpah.
So say happy birthday to Elvis Presley today.
We'll keep working and we'll get her done.
Get her done. Thank you, Mike and Raleigh. Mike and Raleigh on fire.
He is. He's awesome.
Annie in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Annie.
Hi, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
I just had to share this with you. I'm driving down from Olympic Boulevard from Trader Joe's, just going on my merry way,
yeah.
And there is Michelle Bachman on a flyer with the corn dog. There's someone flashing all over the streets. It's to the next street and to the next street. You know those flyers that you
yeah.
I hope they blow it up and put it on a float at Gay Pride this year in West Hollywood.
Is this all down Olympic?
God,
is this
made my day.
Is this all down Olympic, Annie?
You know, I left. I see Olympic like before you get to Sentinella. I saw two of them. You see where someone's trying to scrape
that's
them off
great.
In their fingernails? But there's Michelle Bachman with yeah. the corn dog.
I love that she loves it. I love that she loves it so much that both eyes are going different directions. She's in so much
in the back of her head. Yeah.
Woo, rolling around like pinballs.
She put it on a blimp and fly out.
Oh, that is some. She's relishing that.
Maybe
that
Trader Joe's will carry a porn dog.
No, a porn dog, ladies and gentlemen. A Michelle Bachmann porn dog.
Really? Really?
Really? Really now. All right. All the headlines, obviously. The Libyan situation offers vindication, at least for now, for President Obama's decision to refrain from using U.S. troops on Libyan soil and to let NATO take the lead in degrading Gaddafi's military power.
And we,
he's always the calmest guy. He's always like, chill the out. Yeah. I got this, mother.
And we have some breaking news this morning.
Oh, pardon me.
The Gaddafi compound has been breached by rebels, and NATO has said that the Gaddafi era is history in Libya.
Seems to vindicate for instance, doesn't
it?
News yesterday could not have been better for the president. The Libyan street was euphoric. Gaddafi was in hiding, and the price of oil was dropping. The Libyan intervention demonstrates that what the international community can achieve when we stand together as one, he said. On vacation. He was on vacation, though, when he said it.
So it was
really
on
vacation.
Yeah. On one of those constant vacations
to Martha's Vineyard. How come on his vacations, he always... Stuff gets done based on his really wise decision-making. And when George Bush was on vacation, really bad stuff happened based on his really poor decision-making.
And then he didn't react for days or weeks or months.
Yeah. As our friend Harry Shearer just said...
Now watch his drive.
Yeah, in his, you know, great documentary on Katrina. This was a man-made disaster.
It was.
You know, Mary Landrieu on the Senate floor 40 times screaming for more money for these levies. I mean, it wasn't just that he vacationed through it. It's that, you know, everything, that the decisions leading up to it.
But also look what's happened, you know, in the Ninth Ward. A lot of public schools are gone, and they're putting in private schools. And it's more disaster capitalism.
Look at that. Obama was careful to emphasize the uncertainty that remained and that Gaddafi's regime could still pose a threat. Again, not the kind of chest-thumping and bluster we're used to from the Bush administration, just the president yesterday.
In the early days of this intervention, the United States provided the bulk of the firepower, and then our friends and allies stepped forward.
Back in March, Obama gambled that the way to confront a potential civilian catastrophe in Libya, if you forget how this started, was to build a coalition of NATO and Arab countries to use air power ostensibly to protect Libyan citizens from a Gaddafi crackdown. There was going to about to be a giant bloodbath. Yeah. His intent was clear all along, though. Gaddafi had to go. And as we were just talking to Richard Wolff about, one Republican after another went, oh, now the president's made a huge disaster. Now he's boxed himself in by saying that this is going to end in catastrophic failure. Okay.
Damn it! Where's the
your revolution failure? Is your own, and your sacrifices have been extraordinary. Now, the Libya that you deserve is within your reach.
Yeah, and he also talked about how this was achieved. The president.
To our friends and allies, the Libyan intervention demonstrates what the international community can achieve when we stand together as one.
I just love this. This is what Richard Wolff was just talking about in a statement issued Sunday. Hello, bitter party of two, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, said they regretted, quote, that this success was so long in coming due to the failure of the United States to employ the full weight of our air power.
Oh,
my God. Yeah, you did it right. You did it wrong.
If only we had bombed more people.
Yeah, if only more people had died.
And we had killed as many people as Gaddafi was going to. Then that would be a real victory.
And then they said, ultimately, our intervention in Libya will be judged a success or failure based not on the collapse of the Gaddafi regime. Oh, move the goalpost much? Now it's not a good thing.
No,
victory yet. But on the political order that emerges in its place. So it's just, they're just reserving the right to blame the president for everything.
Bush had done this. They'd never hear the end of it.
Yeah, exactly. The White House, former advisor Gibbs, said the American people will see this as a success because we didn't need to send troops in, didn't lose American lives, and it involved others in the world who also had big interests in Libya's stability taking a bigger role. All right. Just wanted to say thank you, Mr. President. Thank you. Thanks, Ben. Okay. Just me? Okay. 44 minutes after the hour, right back. We'll see what Charlie Pierce has to say about this.
Oh, stop it. Well, come on.
There is another side.
Oh, here we go. All right. Right back with the other side on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller.
Party, 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 party. Speaking of which, Jennifer in Sacramento, coming to Sexy Liberal in San Francisco. Hi, Jen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I can't wait to see you in San Francisco. Very excited. And I'm taking my husband.
Yay! October 28th and 29th. I don't know which one you're going to.
I'm going to the Friday night one, and I was wondering if I could be the official public defender of the Stephanie.
Ooh, we need one.
Oh, we need one of those.
No kidding. Give me a call when it happens, people.
All right. Thanks,
yeah,
Jen.
It's not if, it's when.
All right. See you there. All right. Oh, by the way, let's see. Dennis Kucinich. And now for the naysaying portion of the show, Dennis Kucinich on Libya.
We have an administration that has assumed for itself powers to wage war, which are neither expressly defined nor implicit in the Constitution, nor permitted under the War Powers Act.
I love it, Dennis.
You might have a point.
All right. Time for the naysaying parade. Here we go.
One man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
America, heck yeah.
Yeah. What did the president do wrong, and why is this bad?
Oh, stop it.
First of all, we don't know if it's good or bad. I respect Richard Wolff's ability to stay bought, but...
That was a snarky writer comment, Charlie Pierce.
I would feel a lot better if Gaddafi's kid wasn't holding press conferences in the luxury hotel.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd feel a lot better if he was in a cave or something. I think the end game of this is going to be extraordinarily ugly. It looks like, you know, house-to-house street fighting in Tripoli, and that's really bad. And now we're hearing that there might be tunnels under the city and all this other stuff. I don't know if that's true or not. But I was more alarmed by the headline in the New York Times about scramble for Libyan oil wealth begins.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, Donald Trump says we need to go steal that quickly.
Well, no, this isn't Donald Trump. This is BP and everybody else who wants to get a piece of the oil fields. Yeah. Donald Trump I can safely ignore. I don't think he has many derricks, if you know what I mean, and I think you do.
Hey!
I'm not a Libyan, but I hope for the Libyan sake this ends well for them.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to take a victory lap on this one yet. I mean, I think it looks as though the whatever we're calling them now, the rebels of the opposition or whatever, is probably going to win. But I think the end game is going to be terrifyingly ugly.
Well, I think the president was very careful yesterday in saying, hey, this thing is not over. So, Dick Morris is on Fox News today saying that was his mission accomplished moment. I'm like, how the hell is that like his mission accomplished?
Because it's just like Iraq.
Well, I mean, the one unalloyed triumph in all of this is it's made the Republicans look like jackasses.
Yes, absolutely.
I love on CNN.com, someone wrote, President Obama's lack of extremism seems to upset American extremists. that's the thing, is one after another, Charlie, you're right, are on record saying this will be a disaster. The president has, made the wrong choice, yada, yada, this will end.
Isn't it odd that these wars happen where oil is all the time? That's just weird.
John McCain is just an enormously silly person. I'm not exactly sure why anybody puts the guy on television.
Yeah.
He has no constituency. He has no area, no level of expertise. Only, how long ago was it? 2 or 3 years he was talking about what an interesting guy Gaddafi was?
Yeah.
You know, he had him for a barbecue or something.
Sure.
I think that's the subtext here from the Bush people that a few people are missing is that, one of their great foreign policy triumphs and one of the ex post facto justifications for Iraq was that it scared Muammar Gaddafi into giving up his weapons and becoming a Western intelligence asset or something like that.
Yeah. I love this story, which you won't see on Fox. At the main square in Benghazi, people have been gathering to celebrate the end of Gaddafi. Thousands celebrated the street. One large sign in the middle of the square features a picture of the Fantastic Four. Obama, Sarkozy, Cameron from Britain, and U.S. Ambassador Susan Rice, who's been on the show.
Yeah.
Text says, God bless you all, thanks.
They've even got the gender balance right for the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
God bless you all, thanks for
the Invisible Girl.
That's right. Three guys to one girl, just like the original.
Who's the thing, by the way?
Yeah. By the way, that will either not air on Fox, or they will.
Does Sarkozy get to be the thing?
Well, he's short enough, I guess. I don't know.
Because I think Carla Bruni is the Human Torch, if you know what
As we all go Bob Hope on each other.
Yeah. Ha-cha-cha.
Ha-cha-cha-cha.
Ha-cha-cha.
Or of course, the Fox News tonight will be, this is really George Bush's victory. I'm sure that'll be the meme.
That one's going to be tough to concoct,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, or he would have done it. You know, he would have done it sooner. He would have done it better, or he right. would still be. We'd still have like five brigades in Tripoli or something. But no, this is. I mean, this is. I hope this is so far a good thing. I hope it ends up a good thing. I admire tremendously the journalists, especially the Brits over there, because they've been doing great work under literally under fire.
Yeah,
and so people in my business, I admire who do that. So,
Charlie, John Huntsman, as you know, has been talking since, which is of course putting him further and further behind. The pack.
It's like
on the
kryptonite to Republicans.
Take a listen.
We found ourselves at the extreme ends of the political spectrum, and people are crying out for us to get back to some level of sensibility. I think when you find yourself at an extreme end of the Republican Party, you make yourself unelectable.
Wow.
Well, John, I have a terrible revelation for you. Your party is not screaming out for sensibility.
Yep.
Your party is demented. It's out of its mind. It's off the twig.
Yeah.
Its sanity has kicked a bucket and joined the Brilliant Choir Invisible. I'm not kidding. I don't know who he's talking about. Unless he's going to prepare for a third party run, which I've heard talk about.
Oy vey. Yeah.
You know, his party is not screaming out for rationality.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And you'll be shocked to know that.
Screaming out, screaming and running naked in the streets is what it's doing.
Oxymoronic.
Yeah.
Screaming for rationality.
Is that, once again, by the way, Mitt Romney, oddly, seemed to have the. It's like almost flip-floppy. He is on record as saying there would be mission creep, this would be a disaster in Libya, the president's dithering, he's weak, it's the wrong policy.
He's doing too much.
Yes.
He's and too strong.
Sadly for Mittens, once again, he's of course cheering the departure of Gaddafi.
Oh, yes, because we didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Because the dithering. He was dithered out of office.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love this. Even in the future, whatever the president does will be too late or incorrect. This is Mittens yesterday.
I think I want to focus my time and attention is on the failure of the president.
Uh-huh.
He's going to come out on November 6th with his jobs plan.
It's
Why hasn't he come
failure.
Out with it already? If it's a continuation of what we've seen in the past, we know it'll fail. I'm also in Nevada on September 6th. And I will be coming out with my jobs plan, and it's going to be very different than his.
Oh,
and if we follow my jobs plan, we're going to get America working again.
Sure. Wait a minute. Or we'll be 47th in the nation, like Massachusetts was.
Because his entire career has been built on getting people jobs and not cutting people loose.
Wait a minute. Romney says that Obama was late in putting out his jobs plan.
So
but Romney is
we'll
putting,
be later.
Romney is putting out his jobs plan the exact same day. That makes no sense.
It'll be his plan, but I'll do this with my hands.
And that'll be different. Yeah, and he's the one that criticized the president's fancy vacation while he's quadrupling the size of his mansion out here.
In La Jolla.
Yeah, I figured it out, though. He's got a much more enlightened environmental plan than John McCain did. John McCain had six houses in six different locations.
Mm-hmm.
Mitt's going to have six houses on the same location. Conservation.
So he's more in touch with the real people.
Yeah, he's going to knock one down. He's going to knock it down every 3 years and build another one.
Oh,
yeah.
That keeps construction workers in jobs.
Stand up.
We miss him, by the way. I don't know what this does to his claim every time he's in New Hampshire about talking about everything that's gone wrong in his home state of Massachusetts.
Yeah.
We miss him. Come home, Mittens, please.
Wait a minute. Isn't his home his son's unfinished basement? I thought that was his home.
I don't know, but we're very grateful for the universal health care plan he put into place.
Yes.
Which is almost virtually the same as the president's.
Thank you. All right, let's hear from Foghorn. Horn, as I call him, Rick Perry, Governor Rick Perry.
God. Listen, America's gone a long way from the standpoint of civil rights, and thank God we have. I mean, we've gone from a country that's made great strides in issues of civil rights. I think we all can be proud of that. And as we go forward, America needs to be about freedom. It needs to be about freedom from over taxation, freedom from over litigation, freedom from over regulation.
Mm-hmm.
I am neither over litigated nor over regulated, Rick, so don't worry about me, okay?
Yeah. I mean, it's stuff like that. Like, what the hell does that mean? Freedom.
Where was he talking from, by the way? Was he at the bottom of a barrel there?
A haystack had fallen on him, yeah. All right. Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America.
Hey, have a great time in Asheville. It's a great town. It's really wonderful down there.
I know. I can't wait. I love me some Asheville. Thank you, Charlie Pierce.
Okay, see you later.
All right, there it goes. 58 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine.
the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal Show website. Jeremy writes, Mama, please tell me Aisha will be on again for next Tuesday. I need my weekly dose of Aisha and Steph. Girls who need to be separated in class, I'm bummed. I know, right? Because she's so cool. My BFF, she's shooting a movie, so she can't come in for a little bit. Whatever. Thank God you bought your Boogie Boogie Cheese t-shirts in Detroit. Franklin bought one. If there is a sighting of Aretha Franklin in Detroit wearing a Boogie Boogie Cheese t-shirt, I will just die and go to heaven. You need to turn your microphone on. Hello.
I wonder what our fromager would say, which wine goes with Boogie 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 Cheese.
Our fromager sent the best cheese backstage. Thank you so much.
Oh, really?
You know it's a liberal show when we have a fromager. Oh, it was good cheese.
You know what my kryptonite is?
Cheese.
No.
You praise Jesus.
I do. Mm. Oh, I miss the
I must
the
ask Jesus.
Yes, we must.
More Jesus.
All right. Eric in Ohio says, hey, Steph, if you bring the Sexy Liberal Show to Pittsburgh, I promise not to use the N-word after having to be chased away from your dressing room by security. Yeah, that was a little odd moment in Detroit. Jim, did you hear about that?
No.
Sexy liberal? Not, that was a very non-sexy liberal moment.
Yeah.
John Fugelsang had an overenthusiastic female fan.
Is that what we're calling those kinds of people nowadays?
Trying to get in to see him. And the very, very lovely and talented security staff of the Detroit Opera House, please and thank you. Extra thank you. It was very nice in asking her to. And I believe the exact quote was, there's too many N-words around here, which is neither sexy nor liberal.
Wow.
So she was removed to another place, somewhere else.
She was wished out into the cornfield.
She was. You're a bad lady. Very politely. Very politely. We are coming back for a special Sexy Liberal tour, Democratic fundraiser to East Lansing September 17th already. And then Asheville, North Carolina up September 24th and on and on and on. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. I believe somebody put up the John Fugelsang teabagging me photo.
Yes, that's
he very nicely has filled in for Hal Sparks while Hal's in Scotland, as he's the only owner of bags currently on the tour.
Well, teabagging is much easier if you're wearing a kilt.
Yeah. So maybe Hal will teabag me wearing a kilt when he gets back.
Both of them obviously have very strong quad muscles.
Yes. And because of Foghorn Horn, as I just named him, Governor Rick Perry. Guess what?
What?
We're going to mess with Texas.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. Yes way.
Lone Star State liberals? No need to feel lonesome anymore, because these seductive progressives are about to make the Dixie Chicks proud of Texas once again. The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is thrilled to announce that they're coming to the most controversial town on their world tour, Austin, Texas.
If this is Austin, I still love you.
An army of the worst dregs ever to soil the face of the West.
Austin, Texas. On November 12th, at the Long Center, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Stephanie Miller are coming to clear Bush, I mean Brush, and spread some liberal love. Tickets are available online at thelongcenter.org or by calling 512-474-5664. It's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Austin, prepare your city to be taken to its limits of laughter.
Oh, thank you very much. By the way, their new brochure comes out, their fall brochure.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who's the cover girl?
Stephanie Miller. Who's the pretty cover girl?
Pretty good cover girl. All right,
you
whatever.
You are a Jehovah dog.
Yeah, I'm a Jehovah dog. I'm a Jehovah dog.
It's hard. The day is at hand.
Yeah.
We are in the last days.
Yay.
You are Jehovah God.
Yeah.
We are in the last days, and I have the launch codes.
Yay! Yay for that.
Yeah.
I have the nuclear football. Whee! Look at me, I'm the cheerleader. Yay! All right, Chris in Yankton writes, Chris, not to pick on Steph, but she and the other members of the Obama pep squad must have had a really hard, been hard to give constructive criticism to in school. He sent along a little skit with Jim as my theater professor, yes. Mm-hmm.
Your portrayal of Blanche DuBois was excellent. I liked how you portrayed her descent into madness. However, I think you might have been able to improve slightly on her mannerisms in this scene where they...
Why are you such a naysayer? Everything I do is wrong according to you!
If you were a tree, what sort of tree?
Storms off and scene. All right. Maybe it's not criticism of her that sets her off. Maybe it's criticism of an authority figure she idolizes. You know, her Republican upbringing rearing its head.
Oh. Oh.
Shut your pie hole, Chris, with your cheap psycho babble. All right. Let's see. Jesse in Iowa sends along a future wife stack for me.
Oh.
Steph, this is a babysitter is in trouble after police say she put a baby in the back of a pickup truck.
Got a baby in a pickup truck.
Better than a bar, isn't it? What's wrong with that?
Look at you. You have a baby in a bar.
She seems like a problem solver to me. Several drivers called 911 after seeing the stroller in the bed of the truck. The babysitter explained to the court she's been babysitting without incident since she was a teen. Didn't realize police would consider this endangering a child.
Did she have the brakes on?
Where do you see a fit of stroller? Yeah, it's perfect in a pickup truck. It's not like, you know, Mitt Romney's Labrador. Just strap it in. It's like babies love breeze, don't they?
Wind in the hair.
Wind in the hair. Lead in the pencil.
If you wanted to get me on my back, all you had to do was ask.
Well, that's highly inappropriate considering this was a baby.
This is... And the second stack reason, 6,432, why it's probably wise I'm not a mother.
Okay.
Mom tries to sell son for $2,000. A Tampa Bay area woman has been charged with trying to sell her five-year-old for $2,000. That is horrible. You can get at least $6,000. Trust me, I tried to sell one of my kids' friends.
Kids?
One of my friend's kids.
Was this during the lean years?
2,000. Don't be ridiculous.
So that's how you got that house.
She had plenty. She didn't miss it. Okay. Oh, I kid. Of course, she did miss it, and it was a little awkwardness for years, but it's fine now. Okay. All right, let's... Okay. I don't... Oh, boy. Celebrity stack Will and Jada Pinkett have reportedly separated.
Uh-oh.
That's right. Well, it's very sad. However...
But they live in that big house. They never saw each other anyway, apparently.
I instinctively mistrust people that talk about how they just... All day long, all the time, and everything's magic. I'm just saying. Been on record a lot saying.
Well, not with each other.
No, they didn't mean each other. Problem, yes. All right. Denise Rich. Oh, speaking of happy, well, happy ex-couples. Denise Richards has turned down an offer to appear on the premiere episode of Two and a Half Men because she thinks Charlie Sheen would make her life miserable. Really? You think he might go off about that?
A little bit.
Producers offered because... Chuck Lorre hates Sheen. He just stick the knife in a little more.
Yeah.
He offered her a guest starring role for her the debut with Ashton Kutcher, but she said she wouldn't do it because she would never hear the end of it from Charlie.
Yeah.
Really? You think he might show up in some sort of crack-induced rage at your house?
And they have kids together.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes.
That would be bad.
And show up with a big boom box and say, kickboxing! It's the sport of the future!
Winning. Duh. All right. Jim, I'm guessing you're going to guess this. It's not even a guess the quote. Celebbitchy.com. Guess who got wasted at Kim Kardashian's wedding? Probably it's not really that hard.
Elton John.
No, actually.
Who gets wasted everywhere?
Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Huh. That's surprising.
Celebbitchy writes, I really, really wish we had access to photos of Dina and Lindsay Lohan at Kim Kardashian's wedding. You can see them here. They both look insane. And they also... Unkindly, but I think accurately say she looks older than her mother. I don't know what the deal is. She's very pretty, but there's something...
Askew.
Like, Madonna's child, was she not born looking 40? I don't know what... She's very pretty, but she looks 40. I don't understand. Just saying. And an insider said she was drinking and partying hard. I saw her order shots from the bar. She's supposed to be... Remember, she did rehab.
Huh.
She apparently...
Okay, says no.
I may not
Didn't take.
Didn't take.
Because she needs rehab.
To re-rehabbed. All right, how's about this ego? Simon Cowell wants to be cryogenically frozen.
Now? Okay.
Why is it always the biggest sticks that feel like we really need another version of them at some point in the future?
I need to be around forever to tell people that they are worthless and have no talent.
Great.
So we need the really mean people. Maybe we could magically freeze this entire Republican field.
Yeah.
So they could run again sometime.
That was the worst cryogenic freezing I have ever experienced. You are an amateur.
All right, can I have some of my fashion music? Wow, Karl Lagerfeld.
Yeah.
He is in the fashion issue. This will disprove that all fashion people are sort of, you know, shallow and vacuous.
Uh-oh.
He's talking to the editor of Vogue France.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you have a beautiful daughter. It would be very difficult to have an ugly daughter.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that'd be the worst tragedy that could befall a person, really.
Yeah.
just to put things in perspective. And another gem from it, if I were a woman, I'd love to have lots of kids, but for men, I don't believe in it.
Oh.
Well, how would women, if it, oh, okay.
Does he understand basic biology?
He's not for that.
Okay.
Because you might make ugly ones by accident.
Oh, well.
And that would be the worst thing ever.
I think Karl Lagerfeld could make some really ugly kids very easily.
Does anyone care what Karl Lagerfeld thinks about anything? I don't understand why that is even an issue.
I don't know. Okay.
Here's what I think. We don't care.
It's the new Piers Morgan joke. Who will walk off his show next? Keith Olbermann, who has been feuding with Morgan. I love Keith's feuds.
Yeah.
Tweeted, who walks out on Piers Morgan tonight? I'm betting the audience, as usual.
Rib shot.
Meatloaf was one of Morgan's guests. Tough act to follow after Christine O'Donnell, as you know, left over the sexual harassment line of questioning.
She was the one who brought up masturbation to begin with.
Yes. She called herself a masturbation activist.
Yes.
So that seems like fair game to me.
And asking her position.
Oh, how dare you! Yeah. You never would have asked President Obama about that.
Yes, because he's never made public statements on masturbation.
Right. And I don't think asking her positions on marriage equality equates to sexual harassment.
No.
In her mind, maybe.
No.
But not in everyone else's.
No. Meatloaf posted a picture of himself on Facebook with Piers Morgan. Said, I had a great time chatting with him tonight. He didn't even make me cry, though. You can't even make Meatloaf cry. What's the point? No one's watching.
Does Meatloaf cry?
All right. And finally, Chelsea Handler begs Jennifer Aniston to appear in her sitcom, gets turned down. Lots of rumors about, Chelsea has a new sitcom coming up. Are you there, Vodka? It's me, Chelsea. It reportedly, according to Slebitchy, I don't know, is flailing in production, having problems before the first episode. The Inquirer claims she was asking her BFF, Jennifer Aniston, for help with the show. And Aniston
says no.
Chelsea Handler is BFFs with Jennifer Aniston?
I guess so.
Really?
I can keep track. I don't leave my house. I don't know.
All right.
Except with my BFF, Aisha Tyler. When I'm on tour. All right. Let's go to Keith in Palm Springs on Governor Perry. Hello, Keith.
Good morning, Steph. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
I was just thinking, as a Christian, is Rick Perry saying that we're going to treat people badly when they come to Texas? I think it was in regards to Brett Bernanke. That doesn't seem very Christian to me.
Well, thank you once again for sussing out
Wheel
a yes.
I think
if Jesus comes to Texas, we're going to treat him rough.
Yeah, Jesus talked a lot about that, who they treat pretty ugly and stuff.
Yeah,
pretty ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like being stung by a bee or getting a splinter. Or being chained to a wall in someone's sex dungeon.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere to join the party. Ken in Cleveland. This is very touching. It's a touching tribute to Herman Cain. Not since we've been rocked like Herman Cain have we been so excited.
Godfather's Pizza
will deliver.
Hot, fast, and fresh right to your door. Or if you want,
we'll deliver.
Popcorn, chicken, salads, and pizza fries, too. Godfather's Pizza, Wausau and Schofield.
Pizza fries. That's the thing that sticks in my head from that.
Pizza fries.
Really?
Bet you they ended up pizza on thisiswhyyourefat.com. All right.
What does that consist of? Is that like fries with pizza sauce over it?
Crazy clown car full of...
I think they have deep-fried pizza in Glasgow.
Crazy.
They deep-fry everything in Glasgow.
Okay. All right. I was mentioning this earlier, but this just cracks me up with the media, like, particularly right-wing media scrambling for a story. So the storyline now is that Sarah Palin is running.
Mm-hmm.
Although Richard Wolff said he thought so, too, today.
He and
Rachel Maddow think so.
I think so.
Yeah, Karl Rove's been throwing that out there. Well, but this
especially,
is stretching
especially since that little thing that she put together that's making the rounds on the internet. It's like a commercial, a total campaign commercial.
Yes, video.
Saying that she's going to be back to Iowa on September 3rd.
I think she and Michelle should settle it in the ring.
Yeah, they should have a corn dog fellatio off or something,
yeah.
Shouldn't they?
Sarah Palin was careful enough not to let herself
Be photographed. She learned the hard way,
exactly,
so to speak. As the date of her keynote speech at a Tea Party event in Iowa draws near, many in the right-wing media using it to promote a possible Palin candidacy. Yeah. Andrew Breitbart's website, Big Government, saw signs of a Palin run elsewhere, namely in a Rasmussen poll on Republican candidates that does not include her. This is a bit of a stretch. I've never seen a story on... Okay, so Rasmussen, let's see, finds... Perry, 29%, Romney with 18% of the vote, Bachman at 13%, Palin not an option in the poll. But they go on to posit Perry and Bachman were and both share a base of Tea Party support. But with Palin as a choice, the majority either went with Perry or Bachman, unless you consider 16% undecided. But with a Palin announcement, things change magically. So these are the, I guess, made-up facts from Big Government. If you do the math, not counting candidate Palin might take from Kane, Paul, Santorum, others, the result of a Palin announcement fresh out of the gate looks, and they did like a poll, it's like a fake poll that would happen if she gets in. They're saying Romney would be at 18%, Palin at 17, Perry at 17, Bachman at 8.
They like to make things up over there at Andrew Breitbart's website.
Actually, it would be good, though, because it's true. It would probably split Tea Party support then. So all the crazy Tea Partiers, it's like, oh, we don't know what to do now. It's like a wealth of, embarrassment of riches, really, if you're a dumb don't you say?
Yes.
Embarrassment of bitches.
What does Kathy Durr do, is what I'm saying. Durr. She just stands in a ditch.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties. Mm-hmm. Stop being noodle back.
Yes. Mm. All right. Yeah, we were talking about the latest Fox story about... why is it, Jim? Is it just ever since Katrina and Sean Hannity's fixation on the buses that they just...
Right now the it's the Canadian buses.
Canadian buses.
President uses Canadian buses.
When it was reported that a Canadian company built the shells of the buses commissioned by the Secret Service and inaugurated on President Obama's bus tour of the Midwest, the right-wing media saw an opening to go nuts.
They went ape dump.
Yeah, Fox News, Fox Nation eagerly repeated the story, as did the Blaze. Newsbusters asked if Obama was saving or creating manufacturing jobs in Canada. Missing from all this Obama bashing, any curiosity about why the Secret Service chose the Canadian-built bus shells for the two vehicles it purchased, which were bought and outfitted by an American company. Mm-hmm. One of the buses to be provided, by the way, to the Republican nominee.
Yep. Oops.
For campaigning. That'll also, I guess, then be a Canadian socialist bus. The LA Times reported the buses have been in the works for years, FYI, and when the Secret Service decided to custom order the buses, it wanted a particular model only available from this Quebec-based manufacturer. There's kind of some requirements in terms of... things
safety,
presidents ride in. FYI. Mm-hmm. Tell you more about that as we continue. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
A shot?
She was in the 70s.
I guess it's better that way.
I'm on my own. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. The phone number toll free from anywhere to join the party. What is the latest out of the Libya?
Libya.
Fight is on near Gaddafi compound.
Yes. Urban warfare in the pro-Gaddafi area, and rebels have broken into the Gaddafi compound.
All right.
They're short-sheeting his bed right now.
Yeah, saran wrapping his toilet seat. Ah! Okay, the Libyan rebel leader.
That's
the real moment of victory is when Gaddafi is captured. We hope that he is captured alive so that he will be given a fair trial.
Is it weird to have noticed that it seems like they're really nattily dressed for the rebels? I don't know why. They always appeal to me.
Interesting.
Same. All right. Oh, I was doing the story, the Fox story about the president's bus. He's from Canada. Yeah. It is amazing how they can take any non-story, particularly in August, when we normally talk about songs done in the wrong way from the 70s and toys that killed us in the 70s. But I'm just saying, theirs always has to have an anti-Obama slant. And so, but I mean, first of all, it's hilarious. Just the shells, it's like one part of the shells are made in Canada and then they're put together by an American company. But this has been the whole story, nonstop on Fox. And first of all, they ordered these buses years ago. the Secret Service, they need a very specific thing, obviously. George Bush rode in these exact same kind of buses. The vehicle had to support the weight of security and communication equipment that we had, said the head of the Secret Service. Fox News doesn't make a point of, like, calling anyone at the Secret Service to
Gretchen
find out.
Carlson is too dense to point out something like that.
She doesn't know how to dial a phone.
Nope. Obviously.
That's what I'm told.
Yeah.
Some say she doesn't know how to operate a phone.
Hmm. Sources tell me that Steve Doocy never asks a follow-up question.
Once injured himself eating pudding with a rubber spoon. Our understanding was that it was the only model that could do it. The Times also noted President Bush rode on a bus from the same Canadian company for the 2004 campaign tour. Oddly, no mention of that on Fox News.
Hmm.
Just weird. Hmm. It was by their radar there. Hey, speaking of the Fox News, oh, heavens, they just got downgraded. Their stock.
Oh, bless their hearts.
Oh, Needham & Company downgrades News Corp. Apparently, when your company is being accused of a mass conspiracy involving phone hacking and a widespread cover-up of said phone hacking, it doesn't exactly translate into viable stock options. Yeah. Needham & Company downgraded News Corp to a hold in the midst of new allegations of wrongdoing and continuing government investigations. They also said Wall Street underestimates the resolve of powerful person enemies of the Murdochs and political enemies of the conservative media outlets.
Whatever.
Blah, 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 blah. All we need to do is stand back at this point, don't we? I mean, seriously. All right, facing a deadline, John Kasich. It's hard to keep, there's so many odious Republican governors, so little time. Just when you take your eye off Walker for a minute, there's Snyder doing something, or Rick Scott. And Kasich is one of the douche nozzliest of the douche nozzles.
You're stopped by a cop who's an idiot.
Well, he learned his douche nozzlery from Fox News. He used to be a host there.
Yep.
Yes, indeed. So, today...
You ever been governed by an idiot?
Everyone in Ohio is like, yes, yes, we have. Yes. Today, Ohio faces its final deadline to expand its unemployment benefits program. If state officials choose to do so, the state is eligible for $176 million in unemployment insurance funds made available in the 2009 Recovery Act to states that broaden their unemployment programs. However, despite a steadily increasing unemployment rate, it is currently at 9%. John Kasich has failed to apply for the federal funds. His reasoning, extending unemployment compensation, makes no sense.
Sure. Just makes him lazy.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. I got mine. I don't care about anybody else.
Makes no sense to him because he has a job, but yes.
People who haven't had enough money to buy food generally don't have the energy to go around looking for a job.
Yeah.
Screw them then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
That makes no sense.
Ever govern people who are idiots?
All right. Wow. I'm sort of, I'm feeling kind of sorry that Donald Trump has gotten out of the Republican presidential race. Because, they need one more dumb, don't they? Because they're kind of short in the clown car.
I'm a huge clown. Huge.
Yeah. Didn't he say he might get back in?
Yeah, he did.
Oh.
So I don't know.
Look at my clown shoes.
Come on, that's all we need. If Richard Wolff is right and Sarah Palin gets in and Donald Trump is back in, oh, God, good times, good times, good times. Oh. All right, Donald Trump on Libya. Hmm. We need to hurry up and steal their oil.
Oh, okay.
We've spent billions of dollars. We are NATO. We're the ones that really back NATO more than anybody else by far in terms of money and weapons and everything else. And I say, what do we get out of it? I mean, you have all these rebels running around, beautiful name rebels. Are they from Iran? Who are they? Who's going to take over Libya? Who's going to take over the oil? So what do we get out of it? And why don't we take the oil? I mean, why aren't we reimbursing ourselves? And now all of those rebels are going to be richer than the people in this country because they're going to take the oil.
Well, it's Libya's oil.
So why don't we do some huge carpet bombing and just kill everybody and take the oil?
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
He thinks we need to do that in Iraq still. We need to go in and take their oil while you're there.
Sure.
Why not?
To the victor go the spoils, of course.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Iraqi liberation.
And at this point, that's exactly the kind of, moderation that's needed in the Republican field.
I think we should
bomb Rick Perry and
oil.
Michelle Bachmann be able to turn to someone and go, what is that crazy bastard saying? What the I mean, really? Because I have not done it in this hour, I've got to do these fun facts. We posted this yesterday, but Jim, because I think it's really important. Because when the mainstream media misses things, and they do, I'm here.
Stephanie Miller.
To fill the breach.
Mm.
Because there's so much talk about Michelle Bachmann yesterday talked about her gaffes. But, she talks a lot. yakety yakety a few times a day, so she's bound to make a couple of
sure,
a couple of gaffes, as they call them.
Now, only her her gaffes are dangerous.
Yeah. Well, but James Rady pointing out they're not really gaffes. It's part of that's the thing is they don't really delve into these people's records and backgrounds. I mean, it's anyway, because in particular, her must-read list. Have you read her must-read list?
It's like a who's who of Confederate
must-read
States
Rady
of America.
To a historical biography that said slaves and masters in the Old South lived in a state of mutual esteem,
sure,
and unity and companionship.
So the slaves got to beat the masters every once in a while.
They took turns picking cotton. And, Yeah. It was, give and take, compromise kind of thing. Many people heard the news item about Bachman describing some of the founding fathers as working tirelessly to end slavery, to which you thought she was being a dumb again. But no. Bachman had not misspoken. This was no joke. A recent piece on her describes how she not only believed what she said, but worked on a book with one of her law school professors at Oral Roberts University.
That bastion of education.
On the subject, Christianity and the Constitution, which contended that the founders could not free the slaves because in their benevolence they did not want to release African natives into an economy where they could not find work. Freedom would have been inhumane and irresponsible.
Because they can't handle it, obviously.
No.
You can't handle freedom.
Exactly. He also describes stumbling over an old list on Bachman's State Senate website of favorite books, including the Robert E. Lee biography by Stephen Wilkins. He was a peach. that offers a revisionist view of slavery. It was not an adversarial relationship founded on racial animosity.
No.
They liked the blacks they owned. Wilkins writes, blacks were lucky, the book asserts, to be escaping barbaric Africa for a Christian America. Hmm. She also abruptly cut off an interview recently when a reporter pressed her about Francis Schaeffer, a theologian she has described as crucial in forming her worldview. Schaeffer taught followers to be suspicious of any intellectual system not strictly adhering to the Bible and Christ's word. In the late 80s, a few years before he died, he called for violent overthrow of the government if it did not reverse Roe v. Wade.
Because that's what Jesus would want.
Sure, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes, because Jesus talked so much about abortion and homosexuality. Oh, no, he didn't.
Not a single word.
No, he didn't. Interesting. All right, so, no, but wait, the question is, are they going to delve as deeply as into, every association Barack Obama ever had? From being on a board with Bill Ayers to Reverend Wright, all of that stuff. Yeah. I mean, there are such whack jobs in both her background and Rick mm-hmm. Perry's background. And, have you seen one story on any of that yet? That's why I was so startled by this piece. I was like, what? Huh? Because I'm saying, it's not a misspeak. People just go, oh, she's a dummy. She misspoke.
Bill Ayers is not a threat to anyone, nor was he in the 60s. I think was he part of the Weather Underground?
Yeah.
They blew up buildings. And once they accidentally killed the janitor, they stopped blowing stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because the president sat on a board with him, obviously, he agreed with everything he ever did or said.
Right.
Yeah.
Killed by association. But these people are actually advocating violent revolution.
Yeah. Yes.
So I dare say she's palling around with terrorists.
Yeah. Exactly.
Look at you, you scamp. Aww. All right. 44 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
We've got to keep up our strength for the fight against evil.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Bizarre.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever happened to OMC?
And who even cares what the answer to that question is?
Yeah, exactly.
And you are. Lord love you.
We will never get that 5 seconds of our life back.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
How bizarre. Mm. How bizarre.
Sorry, I even brought it up.
Mm. 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Is there any other... there's so many reasons Fox is useless. But... Have you ever looked at their Fox Sexpert? They have a Fox Sexpert.
Really? They do.
Yeah, and they post things that would just seem fairly... this one is 15 enlightening sex facts, things that would seem fairly obvious.
Mm.
One of which is number three, a 2 a.m. booty call. People always look better at closing time. Research on singles bars has found that as closing time approaches, both men and women see the other sex as increasingly attractive.
So they discovered beer goggles.
That is, wow, I've never heard of that.
Groundbreaking.
Thank God. When, Fox is doing some groundbreaking.
Wait a minute. They're just crawling out of the forest primeval, all blinky, and discovering that.
Yes.
Now?
Here's a tip. It's a sex tip for you from Fox. Number five, uncork the wine. Really? That tends to loosen people up. I'd never heard that.
Who knew?
Both sexes can get turned on by the smell of wine. Oh, okay. Good to know. Good to know.
Mm.
Smell. The taste is what,
Sex seems to mystify the people over at Fox News, doesn't it?
Mm. And number 15, wow, some more breaking news.
What?
Paid sex equals unhappiness. They cite a 2004 study. Oh, good. Well, they're current.
Depends how much you pay her.
Well, exactly. The study titled Money, Sex, and Happiness found that those who have to pay for sex are much less happy than others. Okay.
Well,
and that
sure have been sex and magic.
Not if you ask Charlie Sheen. You're doll winning.
Ask Rush Limbaugh about that.
All right. This is a wow. Can I just tell you, you know, I've had a bad insomnia problem, so I'm taking the
Lunesta.
Green butterfly, that one.
Yeah.
I think it's turning my brain to mush. I'm pretty sure.
Did it have the side effect for you that it had for me? The next morning, everything I ate or drank tasted like metal.
Ooh.
That was the weirdest.
That, what it is?
That was the weirdest side effect. I haven't taken it since then. That creeped me out.
I have no way.
Waking up, you're naked, wandering through.
I hate when that happens.
Holding a bloody knife.
Yes.
Yeah. Staggering out of the woods in North Carolina with a separate head. Don't you hate that?
In one hand and a bloody knife in the other. Yeah.
You're just like, what?
What?
I don't know how the hell I get
to North
Carolina.
Butterfly. The butterfly did it.
I've heard a lot of these weird stories, but scattered throughout the past sleep research are a couple of reports describing unusual behavior, sleepwalking, obviously, but including sleep eating. You remember our friend used to eat her kids' lunches, and then the kids would leave for school crying in the morning.
Because they were hungry.
Mommy, we ate our lunch again. Mm-hmm. Sleep phone calls, that's not good.
Oh, boy.
I've had phone calls I don't remember. What did I say?
Yeah.
Sleep sex, okay. And even sleep rape and murder, like you just said, coming out of the woods. And
great.
Yes.
Yeah. Holding a severed head.
A new case study adding one more.
Again?
I meant to have a different body part this time. Oh, no. A new case study adding one more bizarre sleep phenomenon, sleep emailing. Oh, no. That also.
Wow.
Yeah.
For sleep texting.
Well, I need the thing on my... What's the thing? You put it on your Wemail?
Google Goggles.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you have to do a math problem before you hit send?
Yeah.
I don't know how many times I went, oh, that's why God invented the draft file. Oh, shut up.
Apparently, Lunesta makes you really good at math. So
after a bender, every morning, do you go and check the sense items folder just in case?
No. It's like I don't Google myself. I don't want to know.
Don't want to know.
Don't go and
you sent a letter to where you described how you were going to...
Squeezy, here's some good news for you. Women think about sex 34 times a day at work.
Is this the sex stack?
I guess so.
Okay.
It's the August, it's a slow news month stack.
Ah, yes.
So if I go to someone's place of employment, chances are one woman there will be thinking about sex.
If this is a slow news month stack.
So now you can ask.
Are these stories from like 2007?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'm like at Fox News now.
Yeah.
I'm just...
According to President Eisenhower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But see, now you can ask the girl question, what she's thinking about, and she'll say sex. Sex. Women think about sex up to 34 times in an average working day. I did not know that.
Yeah. All right.
According to a study by Professor Pervy McPerverson, this works out to an equivalent of once every 14 minutes.
Oh, so you get to time it really well. You just got to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been 14 minutes. Break time. I got dibs.
And that's sort of amazing when you think that women, this is not, I don't know why, this is my, actually, study stat, Chris.
Oh, okay. Great.
I usually only cite studies by Professor Drinky McDringerson, which makes me feel better about drinking. You know, that it cures heart disease and Alzheimer's and whatever.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This one, women spend 3,276 hours of their lives getting ready just for a night out. That works out to 136 days, the time it would take an astronaut to fly to the moon and back 22 times.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Men, however, devote a mere 1,092 hours in a lifetime to getting ready.
And that includes shaving.
Yeah.
So.
You just pick up stuff, right, and smell it and just put it on. That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's good.
It's not too wrinkled. Sure.
You don't have same, like, the women have, like, does my ass look fat in this? You don't have the, does my, you know, look big enough in these? You don't really have that. You know what I mean? They don't.
No, they'll find out sooner or later.
Yeah, exactly. an average woman will spend an hour and a half getting ready for a night out. The biggest chunk of that time spent showering, washing, styling their hair. It did blah, blah, blah. There's a host of waxing, exfoliating, moisturizing, straightening, polishing, plucking involved in getting ready for a night out. That's true. There's a lot of, it's a lot of, you know, hair removal.
Oh, you have a lot of hair to remove?
Well, I was born an Armenian wolf child, for God's sakes. Of course I do.
And yet you don't have the...
Just shaving the unibrow alone, you know, and tweezing the nipple hairs. That's yeah. Ow! Oh, I got a little skin there.
Oh, boy.
How?
Okay. Oh, by the way, we, you know, one of our favorite interwebs things lately has been the I just shot myself guy.
Yeah.
So I want to do a gender equality thing here. A woman shoots herself while trying to kill mice.
Oh,
see, so that's the dumb guy thing. Mendocino County woman was trying to kill mice in her trailer with a gun.
Ow.
Ended up shooting herself and another person.
Oh, great.
She pulled out her .44 caliber Magnum. Ooh.
That's
When she saw mice scurrying across the floor of her trailer, she accidentally dropped the gun, which went off as it struck the floor.
Great.
The bullet went through the woman's kneecap, bounced off keys sitting on the belt loop of a 42-year-old man in the trailer, grazed the man's groin. Oh dear.
Of course.
Before ending up in his coin pocket, the mice escaped the shooting unharmed.
Of course.
You don't need .44 caliber Magnum to shoot mice.
No, that was not very effective. Why do I guess alcohol might have been involved? I don't know. I don't know. She should marry this guy, though, is what I'm thinking.
Oh, son of a bitch! I just injured myself.
Steph?
Yes?
The chat room would like to know where you got your shirt.
Oh, a listener sent it to me. It's my liberal shirt with a definition of liberal on it.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
It's a little too on the nose.
So we don't know where you got it.
No, someone sent it to me.
I'm sure if you Google it, you'll come up with one.
Probably not from Fox News.
I'll put on any old rag anyone sends me.
You're very particular about hats, though.
All right, one more for Jim, because I give and I give to Jim.
Yep.
This is a Squeezy McFeel Pants one. Aussie donkeys could soon be helping to increase the sex drive of Chinese women.
Bonza.
I don't think this is a donkey show kind of thing. I think it's a...
All right.
Straight.
A Hong Kong company trying to locate 1 million donkey skins every year to be used in the making of traditional medicines. Chinese traditional healers are known to use donkey skins to improve vitality, increase a woman's libido, and help with period pain. That's the weird. You know what? That's the weirdest fun sex story yet.
Yeah. All right.
That really is.
So apparently women sit on donkey skins every 14 minutes.
Yeah, I know Jim was hoping that was a donkey show thing, but it wasn't.
No.
So I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I apologize.
Got to go to Tijuana for that.
A disappointment. Yeah. All right, kids. Sexyliberal.com. Check it. Oh, I have to go to Sexy Liberal Facebook and see if the picture of Aretha Franklin coming into the Detroit show is up yet.
Ooh.
You gave it away.
It's already happened. Never mind. All right, you can get tickets to all of the upcoming shows. Sexy Liberal on Facebook, sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Twitter. And we will see you tomorrow. Comedian Carlos Alzraki.
Yep, joins us.
And much more. We will see you then.
John Conyers joins us tomorrow, the patron saint of the Stephanie Miller Show.
All right, I'd like to thank Chris LaBoy, Jim Ward, and Rebecca Taylor on phones and drums. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.